We're about to delve into the dangerous world of piling technology upon technology. Join Philip Zahda as he reveals the true costs and challenges faced by organizations, as we explore the risks of obsolete technology, the art of staying relevant, and the delicate balance between short-term tactics and long-term strategy. I'm your host, Anthony Pearl, and this is Level Up Transformation. Philip, I wanted to ask you about this whole idea of piling technology on top of technology. We've got that coming to the fore more and more these days, don't we? Particularly with open source software, with APIs, this idea of solution upon solution upon solution. And how risky is that approach?
Yeah, it can be a Pandora's box. It really can. You know, you've got organizations who, you know, they try to innovate, they try to meet, to bring in new tech, to see new standards, to try them out, but they don't put a lifetime against it. They don't put a sunset clause. They just integrate it into a way of working. And that can be very, very, very risky. Like, I think we were speaking about it earlier with Westpac, for example, where their target now is to reduce 2/3 of their tech stack. I think it was a $2 billion spend over the last 4 years, just trying to reduce it, because there's just so much separation and there's no real ownership of this system, of that. And that can be detrimental to an organization, to the point where you could not have a standard technology stack that you use. And don't get me wrong, technology is going to change, but you do it in a point where you have that expiry date. Effectively, when are we going to change it? How are we going to change it? When do we decide, et cetera? And that makes it simpler and easier and more cost effective. Now, if there is, like, I don't want to stifle innovation. If your team wants to try something new to see if it's going to solve a specific problem for them, okay, how can we do that? But how can we do that in a way where, A, we test it cheaply, we make sure it works, then we get buy-in to bring it in, and then it becomes the part of the standard. But then what are we removing, if anything, out of the way? It's not like, you know, the legal system where laws just pile onto each other. How do we repel one of the old techs safely? And that's one of the challenges now that we're seeing a growing number of organizations facing.
And of course, there's the idea, as you're saying, with Westpac, where they're saying, okay, we actually have a goal to get rid of a bunch. But there's the other side where sometimes they become obsolete anyway, don't they? That's something that you also have to be aware of when you're stacking technology upon one upon another, that for whatever reason, one of them decides isn't going to work anymore, isn't going to be compatible, isn't, you know, any number of different things that could potentially happen.
100%. You know, I've been in government where they've got notification about a tech stack that they were using has gone end of life. The organization isn't going to support it anymore. So what do? You know, they had to pay licensing fee to keep the support going, just to keep the technology, because the transition pathway was circa of 2 years away to be able to get out of it. And this comes down to that mentality of how quickly is it to get rid of this tech if we needed to get rid of it tomorrow? How hard is that going to be? So having that mindset will actually help determine, or having that design mindset when you're bringing in the solution will play a big part, if not now, in the future. Because as you're right, you know, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Technology could become obsolete, or they could be bought out and then they shut down there and they say, everyone needs to switch this, but we can't switch that for whatever reason. You know, how do we transition out? What's the pathway? Even if it's something really simple to say, okay, we're using this tech stack here on this system, or this process and this process, at least having some sort of map to be able to say, okay, if we need to quickly assess how damaging this is going to be, where do we begin? So we don't miss anything. Even something simple like that can speak volumes to an organization's resilience.
Yeah, I think it's an important point, isn't it, as well, that what we tend to do when we're looking to invest in some piece of technology is we spend a bit of time, and we've spoken about it before, about assessing it and making the decision. And we say, right, we're going to go ahead with this one. What we then often do is stop. And realistically, if you're using pieces of technology, you should be continuing to a degree, keeping aware of what the other alternatives are that are in the marketplace, not because you want to switch immediately, but because if the opportunity arose that you needed to, at least you're aware of what some of your options might be and where that's going. You know, you've got to balance that, of course. It's not an endless thing, but keeping an eye on what's happening in any given space is important, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually, funny you mentioned that because one thing definitely comes to mind on that. So, one thing that we do at Zedware, and I've actually tried to sell this, well, not for monetary, but actually sell the idea to our other organizations, is once a month we have what we call a hack day. So, what that is once a month, our team are able to jump online and look at whatever projects interest them, open source, non-open source, what have you. And they can actually see what the market is doing and stay up to date. So, for example, if there's a new flavor of AI that's come out, they can have a play for a day comfortably. Yeah. They don't have to do it on a weekend or after hours. They can actually understand what's happening. And then they come back and they say, "Hey, I just played around with this new open source AI technology. It looks really cool. We can probably use that on this project in the future or this use case." And things like that, for example, that's something as simple as that can keep you up to date without really costing much. Because it motivates people as well. It has a side effect, gives them that refresher that they're not having that FOMO of missing out.
Yeah, it's really an interesting idea, isn't it? That playing around with it because and I love the fact that you give it a day as well because we all start playing with something and the hours disappear very quickly, don't they, when you start investing some new things. And again, that goes back to an important point of when you do invest in a piece of technology, it's never as simple as just okay, we'll have it up and running in the next day. There's always things to think about with that. And again, thinking about it in terms of where if you're starting to reduce things down, what are the implications? Because that must be an interesting and difficult and challenging thing for anyone to do is saying, what are the implications if something gets switched off? What can we do? What do we need to do to make sure everything still functions?
Yeah, correct. I used to be paranoid about that stuff, as in, back in the day when I was into the .NET coding. Okay, version 4 is coming out. I'm in 3.5. How do I move over the code? Do I need to worry about that? Things like that. And that's the kind of mindset that you need to be able to alleviate. And that kind of, if I phrase that correctly, that can really help build that resilience behind it.
And just a reminder that this podcast is made possible by Zedware, software development and consulting solutions to help increase efficiency in your business. For information on how to get in contact with Philip and the Zedware team, go to zedware.au. Of course, look in the show notes for more information and don't forget to subscribe. Now back to the podcast. Yeah, I think it's important, isn't it, to have that and to really understand where solutions need to be looked for. And it's diagnosing what potential problems may come as a result of something being pulled is challenging.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to change it. So for example, the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. So if you've built a platform in your organization that's lasted the last 10 years and slowly you've been adding things to it and taking away and it's changed with the business over time, and then argument's sake, the next day there's a new way to do API calls, then that could be like, okay, do we transition any new stuff that we do moving forward to the new way, for example, or do we stick with the old tech? Because that old tech stack that you have is still going to be working. It just might not be supported anymore. But then there's also the risk that you have, where what if there's a vulnerability in that technology? Is it something we need to look at as an organization? How do we transition away from them? And again, if you've gone down the path of using standardized ways of building things, there's usually transition pathways you can do, whether it's adding an extra layer of security in front, going into the code itself, changing configuration, what have you. There's a plethora of ways you can attack things.
Yeah, it brings an interesting point as well as far as technology is concerned, because often there are these additional features that gets released. So if you think of it in terms of, something like web-based software, where there's a new thing that can be done. But if your platform is based on and you don't really need those things, it's a question of whether you should have those things implemented or not, and what are the risks if you don't keep up with those, adding those new features onto it versus the security risks and things, and then the implications for everything else that's working that may have been based on that original idea that's no longer being supported. So it's not ever a straightforward answer, is it?
No. And anyone who tells you it is crazy. It will never be straightforward. It all comes down to context. Because there could be things that you could only do as a, for example, if you remember this term, a Windows desktop application that you can't do in a browser. Obviously, well, you couldn't do it. Now you pretty much do everything in a browser, but you get the point. There's certain things you can and can't do. And it's just coming back to just identifying and understanding and appreciating, is this something we need to do? If it is, when are we going to do it? If we are, what's it going to look like in terms of time and resources, and how long is it going to take us to do it? And what are the benefits? Because even something like staying relevant in the marketplace, that's huge. Even it's that we don't have to train our staff retention. You know, we bring them all from old technology. Because think about it, if you're using an old, I'm just going to throw an argument out there. Say if you're using an old editing software, I'm just going to throw an example, that doesn't, nobody learns anymore. What happens when your staff who are currently exits in it leave? You know, you're going to be very hard to find somebody else. So these are the type of risks you need to look at and how you do it in a way where you can slowly transition to the new way.
Yeah, it's interesting too when you talk about bringing people in. I think that's the other point as well, is that often I've seen people advertising for people to fill roles and they're saying, oh, do you have experience in this particular piece of software? And because there are so many pieces of software out there, it's not really about that. It's really, to me, it's more about whether they understand the logic behind it and intrinsically what's involved in these softwares, whether they can then develop and adapt to whatever the other piece is, or whether they want to force everyone to revert back to their only thing that they knew. And I've seen that. I've seen someone talking recently to me about Salesforce, and walked into an organization and said, it's the be all and end all. We absolutely need it. So the organization has turned around and invested a stack of money into moving things over to Salesforce. The question really remains as to whether the technology they had could have done the job that Salesforce is going to do for them, and whether it's worth the money that they've invested, because they now, one person has forced the whole organization to come along.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the same organization. I've heard that. I call that the golf course conversations, where one CEO talks to another CEO on the golf course. You need Salesforce, or you need this, and then they force the whole organization to switch over. Yeah, it comes down to assessment, because yeah, like, don't get me wrong, Salesforce is a very powerful. It's an awesome piece of tech, right? It's amazing for what it's done, but it's a technology that does a particular job. If your organization doesn't need it and you're going to be sitting there customizing it the whole time, then what's the point? You might as well be better writing your own software. And that's what I've tried to help organizations understand. Some technologies are really great, and if they'll tick the boxes, or at least most of the boxes, great. But if you're going to sit there customizing it the whole time, what's the point?
Yes. And it is a very important balance, isn't it, to strike? And I know, you know, we've talked about this whole idea of tactical and being long-term strategic. What is the right decision?
Well, as I mentioned before, you could be tactical in the short term just to get you by for what you need for the next 6 or 12 months while you're building that long-term strategy out. You know, is there a way to balance what you need now to stay relevant and competitive in the market, but then build something more resilient in the future? You know, we've seen technologies come out that are incomplete, you know, and they've hit the market hard with marketing and they've been sold, and then they have a message, oh, this feature will be out soon. Okay, then. That kind of thing. And it's just, from an organization, how do you keep the continuity of the business processes and the flow with the least amount of resilience and bumps on the road, effectively?
Yeah, I think it's a really important point that people need to remember, is that it is, how do you keep things consistent? Because you've reached certain standards that you've got in the business, both for internal purposes and for external purposes. So you want to make sure that you've got ways to maintain that in the very least.
Yeah. Definitely. And that's the art form of it.
Thanks for listening to the Level Up Transformation podcast. Contact details for Zedware and Philip Zada are included in the show notes. This show has been produced by Podcast Done For You. I'm your host, Anthony Pearl. Don't forget to subscribe and listen in to the next episode.